Greetings, Spartan family. Welcome to our podcast. This is your podcast host for episode 12, Lake Forest Superintendent Stephen Lucas, and I'm proud to bring you our podcast about the Lake Forest School District in fabulous Felton, Delaware. I'm here with the Lake Forest School District 2024 Teacher of the Year, Mr. Stephen West, and together we will be talking about his experiences as Lake Forest Teacher of the Year and his role as a middle school social studies teacher at W.T. Chipman Middle School. We are glad you are here and ask you to share this podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. They can find us on most podcast providers, including Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Be sure to bookmark us and allow notifications so you will know when a new episode is dropped. So now, on with the show. Welcome, Mr. West. Greetings.
How are you doing today?
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for joining me on the Lake Forest Spartan Podcast and for serving as a social studies teacher in our great district. And of course, congratulations. You're our Teacher of the Year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was definitely a big honor for me. I've worked a lot of years, worked really hard. And to get that little bit of a validation, it just makes it all worth it.
Well, it's well-deserved. I like to start our podcast, and want to get ahead of ourselves by getting to know a bit about our guests. So go ahead, take it from there. Your Teacher of the Year, social studies teacher. What else do we want to know about one Stephen West?
I grew up in the district. I started my Lake Forest career, as you would say, as a kindergarten teacher at Lake Forest North. Went all the way at that point, kindergarten through fifth grade at Lake Forest North. There was no Central Elementary at that time. They moved sixth grade over to Chipman, and I was actually in that back building out by the parking lot, had all four of my core classes there, went on and graduated from Lake Forest in 2001, got a fabulous education, and wanted to give back to that community after college, and ended up working here, spent a few years at Central before transferring over to Chipman as a sixth grade social studies teacher.
Awesome. Let's see. And you're our 2024 Lake Forest Teacher of the Year. So you're our reigning Teacher of the Year. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Definitely a lot of looking internally and a lot of self-promotion and self-reflection goes into that process. I'm not one that I boast about myself a whole lot. So putting myself out there, speaking about my beliefs to a wider audience has definitely been something that I've had to practice and I've had to get some confidence with. So a lot of that self-promotion and self-reflection kind of went hand in hand, but was definitely a little hard for me in the beginning. And I've done my best. I think I've improved at it quite a bit over the last year. I definitely love the new format of selecting the Teacher of the Year. I remember when I first started teaching, it was a lot of popularity amongst the teachers. The teachers voted for their friends. And beyond that, I didn't really know what the process was. But the way that Lake Forest does it now, where it is not just maybe a selection from a fellow teacher, but from the community members, from parents, and what I think is the greatest a part about the program is that it can also be from your own students, whether they're current students or former students, looking back at the impact that you have had and wanting to promote you for that title.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. Mr. Mormon, who's our human resources director, does just a wonderful job with all of our employee of the year programs, teacher of the year especially. So it's extremely rigorous. Tell us a little bit about that. What exactly? I know that you know, we have a nomination process where any of the stakeholders, parents, your fellow teachers, administrators, we can all nominate you. But then where does it go from there? What did you have to go through to actually get to the finish line?
So when you start at the building level, it is that nomination. Everybody in the building gets that's nominated, gets notified. They ask if they want to pursue the next step. Each building holds an interview process where they will decide who's going to be the Teacher of the Year for that building. At the end of the school year, the announcement is made for the district, but prior to that, you have an interview within the district, at the district level, competing against all of the building the building Teacher of the Years, and they do a classroom observation. All of those things are culminated together where they announce then the district Teacher of the Year at the end of the school year. Following that is right back into looking again, a lot of that self-reflection where the state has different requirements. A lot of them carry over from the district level, but there are more processes involved. I went to a summer workshop with the 2010 National Teacher of the Year, where she came to all of the district Teacher of the Year, and we sat around and we talked about how to answer the questions and being in front of media. I had to read from you have a 5-minute speech using a teleprompter, which was the very first time I'd ever done that. So, and it all goes into wrapping up to when you are a Teacher of the Year, you are promoting your message and your thoughts and your feelings, and you need to be comfortable with that. So they do a lot of background work to get you prepared for that in case you were to go on and win for the state and then ultimately compete in the national level.
That's awesome. And if we have a really rigorous committee, right? Like here within the district, I think the former Teachers of the Year on that committee, and who else is on that committee?
A lot of people from the Central Business Office, former Teachers of the Year. And what I really liked is that the questions that were asked were very much modeled after the next level. So I felt very prepared after winning here at Lake Forest to compete against all of the 19, I think 20 other Teachers of the Year from the other districts and the charter schools.
Yeah, and our system is obviously very good because we've had very good success. We haven't quite mastered Teacher of the Year yet, although I was pretty sure one of you should have gotten it. Mm-hmm. But as you know, we've had Behavior Health Professional of the Year for the state. We've had a couple of Education Support Professionals of the Year for the state, and very similar selection process. So the rigor that's involved in that process really helps prepare the candidates from Lake Forest to go up to the state level and do very well. So I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit, and okay. I got to be honest with you, man. I teared up a little bit during your welcome speech or your recognition as Teacher of the Year. It's an awesome story. So with the risk of me crying again right here in front of everybody, tell us about your journey to becoming a teacher and, you know, how your mom influenced your life.
Sure. So, I mean, I spoke at the beginning that my journey started when I was in kindergarten at Lake Forest North. The journey into the Lake Forest family, and that's what I like to think of it as, started much earlier than that. My mom was a teacher her entire career here in Lake Forest, and she served the district for over 30 years before she retired. And we got to overlap a little bit, not obviously at the same schools. You always know your mom, and your mom loves you, and is your teacher from the very beginning. And I knew she was a great mom and great teacher towards me. And I always assumed she was a good teacher in the classroom as well. And it really, when I was in middle school there at Chipman, I was able to go down on my lunch breaks because at that point, the South Wing is now the sixth grade wing. So I was able to go down and help her in her classroom and just see her in action as a very influential middle school student. And that seeing her in action, not just with me, but with all of the students and how she treated all of her students as her family, just really ingrained in me, like, I really want to do this. This is something I could see myself doing. And I always liked working with kids and you know, in middle school when I was on the swim team and helped with swim lessons here and there. But that seeing her in action just drove that passion of, I think I can make a difference, not only, you know, in the family members of my maybe potential classroom, but just in the community that gave so much back to me. And that really drove that passion and started that, where I started looking, okay, when I get to college, let me look at elementary education, because I always thought I wanted to be a second grade teacher just like her. And that was until practicum and student teaching in college, and I got into a third grade class and I had to teach the phonics and the phonemic awareness, and I'm like, ugh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I wasn't giving up on teaching, but I just knew that grade level, as much as I thought was what I wanted, wasn't. And I actually had a sixth grade language arts practicum, and I loved it. The kids were great, that age level, and that's what I fell in love with, and that's where I am today. But it all started with my mom and that knowing what a good teacher was as a mom, and then seeing her in action as a teacher.
Yeah, I tell you, she's immensely proud of you. I just want to get that out there. The respect that I have for seeing what the elementary, the K-5, you know, so they're self-contained. They're with the same 20, 25 kids all day. They teach everything: math, science, social studies, English. They teach kids how to behave. They teach kids how to learn. I tell you, I couldn't do it. It is incredible the level of talent and knowledge that our K to five teachers have to have to do that job. So you're right. That's not cut out for everybody. And
I take a lot of it for granted because my wife was a kindergarten teacher and a first grade teacher for a while. And just those first couple of years when we were working, she, you know, first beginning of the school year, I'm having my students come in and we're going over the classroom procedures on the first couple of days. And like, well, I have to teach them how to sit in a seat. I have to teach them how to raise their hand. And they have to do all of those basic things long before any, you know, book learning takes place. And that was like, oh, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, how to hold a pencil.
Yeah, exactly.
All those things. Yep. Yeah, so God bless our elementary teachers. But our middle school teachers have a whole different set of challenges, and everybody's not cut out for that either. So tell us, what is it like to be a middle school teacher at W.T. Chipman?
I have a lot of fun. And that's what it boils down to. I have a great time every day. Are there some hardships involved? Oh, 100%. There's no job that's easy. We were just talking about kindergarten, teaching them how to sit down and hold a pencil and all of that. And in sixth grade, especially, because that's what I'm most familiar with, their personalities are just really starting to bloom and blossom. And they're starting to find their way in the world. The hormones are starting to kick in. But they're just great. They have great personalities that are just starting to develop. They can have a good time. They can learn, and that passion for learning is still there, and just to really mold it and to try and carry it along each and every day just makes it a fun place to work. You know, there are some times when I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and you have your rough days. Every place, you know, has their rough days, but by and far, you know, they're a great group of kids. They really love what they're doing and they're learning. And you just see that blossom of their personalities from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And then it's even great because I'll see them in there in the hallways as they're an eighth grader, and now some of them have beards and some of them are just as big as I am. And I've got to try and remember who they were from 3 years ago now that they look completely different. And it's so much happens in such a short amount of time. There's no other place I'd rather be.
And Mr. West is a pretty big guy. So for an eighth grader to be as big as he is, that's a big eighth grader. And Chipman is awesome to go in because those kids come in the building fired up and they leave fired up. There's no other age level where the kids come in, you know, really on fire and leave on fire. I don't know where they get all the energy, but they sure do. And social studies. Why social studies? What is it that gets you fired up about social studies?
First and foremost, for me personally, it wasn't math. I sit there in my class and we have staggered planning periods, and I hear the math room going on next to me, and I'm thankful every day that I am in a social studies classroom. I've always loved history. All sixth grade social studies is geography, specifically looking at the human geography, the culture, how people are around the world, their religion, their clothing, the food that they eat, what makes them who they are. We talk a lot about natural disasters preparing, and it's just a great topic. The kids really enjoy it. We go continent by continent. We look at the standards through the eyes of the people that are living there. You know, Harrington, Felton, Frederica, Delaware, just a really, you know, tiny dot on a map. And there's a much wider world of things going on. And the more that I can build those connections with themselves and what's going on with the people around the world, I think we'll just ultimately build better citizens for our future.
Yes, we certainly will. How about particular subjects, or I don't know how to narrow it down to, is there something particular that the kids get really fired up about?
So one of the TV shows that I introduced them to is Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmer.
And you do a project on that too, right?
We do, yes. So one of the easiest ways I have found to talk about culture and people around the world is the food that they're eating. You know, it leaves politics out. It leaves a whole bunch of stuff out. And it just gets down to everybody eats, no matter where you are in the world. And what you eat is going to be completely different based off of where you are. And there's this perception that a lot of middle schoolers and kids in particular, at least here in the U.S., are very, very picky and very particular with what they eat. So one of the episodes that we watch, Andrew Zimmer, is just eating something crazy from one of the cultures around the world. And, you know, the kids, ooh, and oh, no, I'd never eat that. And I'm like, okay, let's take a break for a second. The cultural food around Delaware is what? And eventually we come to Scrapple. And while we don't go into the process too much, we kind of, you know, they know enough. And they're like, oh, okay, I kind of see what you're saying, Mr. West. And then, you know, we kind of go through, you know, in the summertime, we pay big bucks to eat, say, blue crabs. Well, let's think about what the animal looks like. Let's think about how it's processed. Let's think about all of these things. And we pay tons of money for it. Imagine somebody who's never seen a blue crab and you have to go through that process. They're going to look at you like you're looking at these other people around the planet. We're all people. We're all eating what's around us. We all have our likes and our dislikes. And that really comes into play at the end of the year. We do a Bizarre Foods Chipman episode where we, as teachers, make different items. Some, you know, one of the things we talk about, apple butter. And some of the kids have never had apple butter. So it's not always the strange, unusual things. And some of them are. And last year we did it, and we did it outside. It was a perfect day. And I just asked every class at the end, I said, you know, how many of you tried something that you weren't sure, that you would have never tried on your own? And every single kid raised their hand. And I said, how many of you liked at least one thing that you tried that was new? Pretty much every kid raised their hand. I did ask them the same thing. Was there any foods that you didn't like? Of course, some of them raised their hand at that. But we had that conversation of you're trying stuff, you're experiencing other cultures, and ultimately your bubble is expanding because of that.
That sounds awesome. I got to get there this year, so please send me an invite. Oh, not that absolutely. I'm going to eat anything, but I'll show up. So you're not only a social studies teacher, you do some other things here in the district. Tell us a little bit about that.
Inside of the district, I have started stepping into the role of being a mentor for our new teachers. I remember my first couple years of teaching and coming in and just being totally overwhelmed. I feel like I'm now at that part of my career where I have enough experience and I have the time to start passing along some of those tips and tricks and the comfort level into a new building with a new person. So I've taken on the lead mentoring role at Chipman, as well as helping all 4 years through that program. And then I'm also a big technology guy, so I've been trying to dabble my hands in any of the new technologies, especially since COVID and technology inside the classroom has really blossomed, finding out tips and strategies and techniques and things that make life easier, don't replace certain things, but help those students out. Or parents or any other thing.
And you're were the assistant volleyball coach there at Chipman, and you coach swimming.
Yeah, outside,
volleyball had a great year. How about swimming?
Yeah, so I am the head coach of the local swim team here at Lake Forest. We had our fantastic season this past year, and it's a community team, so it's not just Lake Forest kids. I have a few swimmers from Smyrna, CR, Dover, Milford, Lake. It is a community team, and we had about 114 swimmers this past year, all the way down. I think our youngest swimmer this year was 4, and it goes all the way up until age 18. The boys, specifically some of my boys that I had, just dropped 30-year-old records, broke 30-year-old records at the high school this season, and you know those were my swimmers a number of years ago. So it's just great to see that program develop with not only just our local kids in Lake Forest, but in the surrounding areas as well. And then I played volleyball a little bit when I was growing up. So I've been helping out at the middle school team. And we had our undefeated season first time, undefeated season this year. And we won the state tournament as well. So lots of great things going on in the district, in the community. And it's just awesome to be a part of that.
Yeah, congratulations on both of those.
Thank you.
We can't do things without you, without people like you. And those are great achievements. Now, the West family, I've had a chance to observe, I think, virtually all of you here in the last few years, seems pretty active. What are some of the things that you and your family do for fun and excitement?
Well, it is nice. I mentioned my wife earlier, and I got to give her a shout out. I can't do anything that I put my mind to without her love and support. So big congrats to her as well. She is the rock that keeps our family together. She is a reading specialist at Lake Forest South, so being that we are both teachers, we both have, I'm going to say, the summers off, because we're extremely busy, but we've got 3 boys that all attend Lake Forest And we really, besides all of their activities, they're on the swim team. My two younger boys love playing soccer. Carson is a runner, you know, at Chipman, both for the cross country and the track team. But we really love and enjoy traveling, which is how we like to spend our money in the summer. Experiences. I'm all about not necessarily those materialistic things, but going and experiencing those the world around us that I live and teach about each and every day. So last summer we were able to travel up to Alaska, and we went to Denali, did some salmon fishing, saw Denali, which was, you know, I guess extremely rare. A lot of times it's covered up in clouds, and, you know, we're already planning our summer vacation. So sitting around the pool and traveling are where we find our time.
Awesome. Very exciting. Now, I heard from one of your colleagues, you served as a great support for him during an endurance event he was involved in. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. So
tell us about that.
Mr. Carter, my fellow sixth grade language arts teacher, he and I like to get out and about. Again, those experiences. So we both became, he's a big runner. I'm not much of a runner, but I can carry heavy things. So we became involved. We found this company called Go Ruck. Rucking is moving weight through a book bag with the purpose of exercise. So I like it because I can still have a conversation, and I can add more weight, or I can pick up the speed. So they offer different 12, 24-hour endurance events. So we've done a couple of those together. He has gotten a little ill on a couple of those through through those exercises. So I always like to tease him about that. But, you know, we go out and we spend our time living out in the world. Some of them are just pure challenges, physical challenges. And then we did do a 24-hour kind of survival event. We learned how to rappel. We rappelled off of a three-story parking garage. We learned how to hotwire a car if the world went crazy.
That is
so
cool.
We just, you know, getting out there and experiencing the world. Through pain and suffering.
That's awesome. That's exciting. I might have done that with you 20 years ago, yeah. But I think I'm beyond those days now. All right, let's get a little personal about
sure.
Mr. West here. So if I were to check your Pandora or Spotify playlist or whatever, what's Mr. West listening to?
To be 100% honest with you, not a whole lot. I listen to, you know, the country, and enjoyed that 90s country I grew up on. But to be honest with you, I'm a big Audible person. I did not like, and even though my mom was a reading teacher, and I did not like reading myself growing up. It wasn't until, honestly, eighth grade, I had my eighth grade language arts teacher assigned a book report, and I didn't like reading at that time. I wasn't the greatest reader, and he thought Ender's Game was the book for me. Gave me a copy of Ender's book. I read it and fell in love with reading just from that one book. And that's what I do now. I put my AirPods in, and I can, you know, quote unquote, read a book while I'm driving, cutting the grass, falling asleep at night. So not a whole lot of music going on,
yeah.
But, you know, give me a book and let me listen to that, and I'm a happy guy.
So what are you currently, or what's one of your most recent reads that you really would recommend?
I'm honestly, right now I'm rereading the Enders the Aragon series. The new book came out, and I started listening to it, and, you know, it has been probably 5 or 6 years since I read the series the first time, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. So I'm starting from the beginning and reading up until that point again. Big Game of Thrones guy, loved reading all of those, and I try and read too. Also, what the current kids are reading, you know, the Harry Potters, the Aragons, just to keep up with what's going on and what their interests are, to make those connections.
Very cool. Movies? You watch movies? You big Netflix guy at all? Anything? No,
not a whole lot.
Okay,
I will say Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption. I got to throw it back. Those are my two. I used to be able to quote probably the entire Forrest Gump movie, and then Shawshank Redemption was just the movie I sat around with my dad and watched all the time. I'm pretty boring when it comes to books and TV and those types of things. But
those are great movies, though, no doubt.
Yep, I will still, anytime they come on TV, that's what I'm watching. It doesn't matter. It's been 1,000 times.
Yep, I hear you. All right, finally, last question. Take me back to one middle school age Stephen West. What would be your advice to our middle schoolers who might be listening?
First and foremost, just be yourself. I remember kind of I remember sixth grade. I was not an organized guy. I was the one, you know, obviously no computers back then, but I had papers just strewn everywhere, stuffed in notebooks, couldn't find a lick anytime. And I remember it was an accident. I got tripped in the hallway and my stuff scattered. It went everywhere. And I was so embarrassed. And I vowed from that day, look, I need to fix this about myself. I didn't like being embarrassed. I didn't like that I could never find anything. So I found that thing, that one little minor thing, and I purposely, from that point on, let me not be lazy. Let me open up the binder. Let me put the paper in. And if you start doing those small steps, they will lead to a much bigger change. I actually found a quote that kind of put that into perspective. It I actually saw it this morning on Facebook, and it was, your competition isn't someone else. Your competition is the attitude, habits, discipline, and choices you make daily. And thinking back to me as a middle schooler, that's what I was doing on my own. And if we start having some self-reflection and know that we're not perfect, we all make mistakes, we are all going to fail at certain things, it is what we do after that moment to pick ourselves back up, to ask for help, and to improve ourselves that will determine the future for us.
I think that's such great advice, Mr. West, and I appreciate you saying that. You know, so many of our middle schoolers probably think they're the only one with this flaw or that flaw, or I'm not as good as this, I'm not as good as that person. And it's really not true. None of us are perfect. We all can get better at whatever we do. So I appreciate you saying that. Shout out to our middle schoolers. Be yourself, guys. Because you matter, you're important, and you're going to get better. We all grow in our own time. Well, thank you, Mr. West.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This has been great. Yep. You're a great guest, very informative, and I think you've really clarified and you know, really not in a boastful way, but made it clear how important you are to this community. You really are. You and your family, very important to this to the Lake Forest community, and we are fortunate to have you here. So that about does it for this month's Spartan Podcast. If you have any feedback for the show, please leave us a comment. We hope you join us for episode 13. You will not want to miss it. Thank you. Until then, take care of each other. In behalf of myself and Mr. West.
Yes, thank you for listening, and reach out if you need anything. We are here to serve you. We are a community. We are a family, and let's have that Spartan pride.
We love it, and we look forward to seeing you on a Lake Forest campus soon. Goodbye.